Revolution.
Hey everybody, it's me, the Revolutionary, coming at you live and direct from Piney Point Studios here in Orlando, Florida, yet again for Volume 2, Episode 13. Oh, in the headlines today, all kinds of fun stuff. Most of it's reaction to the letter from the president of Iran. And President Mohammad Ahmadinejad, man, that's a hard name to say. More power to you guys. I'm sure it's easier in your native tongue than it is in mine. He sent an 18-page letter that basically raised new ways of solving problems for the United States. In that letter, whose text was made available to the New York Times and several other news agencies out there, basically given out by the folks from the United Nations, and there's some very interesting parts within it. So we'll get into that, and also we have the reaction from Condoleezza Rice, because of course the president couldn't have actually talked about it at all today, because, man, here it goes again, it must be Wednesday. They couldn't have talked about it himself today, because he was down here campaigning for Harris, Catherine Harris, and a couple of other politicos, and asking his brother if his brother wanted to be president. His brother said, maybe not at this time, but he's not saying, maybe in the future. And we all know that Jeb does. Members of the state of Florida, all know that Jeb has done just so wonderful a job. But hey, he did a better job with all three hurricanes than his brother did with just two. And we even got one of those two. So maybe he could take a couple of hints from his younger brother, Jebediah. All right, but imagine that dynasty, First we got President Dumbass, followed by Governor Pumpkinhead. Oh well, life is strange that way. Well, Condoleezza decided to, she was interviewed and basically stated, "Hey, diplomacy takes over when you're dealing with different locations, different nations like those that sat around the table with Condoleezza Rice the other night." And Condoleezza said that there were tactical differences between what Iran is saying and what the UN should allow. And basically, since it's an all-boys club of nuclear powers, we really don't want other people to have them. But what are you going to do? So I got some stuff on good old Condoleezza Rice there. We also have some information that came of light, again, through the New York Times today. I got a lot of stuff out of the Times and ABC News and the Washington Post today. Basically, the housing secretary under King George, that would be Alfonso Jackson, the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, took over for Mel Martinez as HUD director. And he told a real estate forum on April 28th how he withdrew an advertising contract he was about to give to a minority publisher because the guy said, and get this, he didn't like the president. "I don't like President Bush," said after the man volunteered. When the man volunteered that to him, he said, he didn't get the contract. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. And some follow-up. Secret Service is saying, has some numbers on how many times Abramoff had shown up to the White House. And funny enough, no matter how much the White House was fighting, they're saying these numbers are absolutely wrong. There's no way he could have only visited as many times as this occurred. So they're saying that we can't trust the Secret Service. And if you can't trust the Secret Service, the good old SS under King George, who can you trust? I say you should be able to trust women.
Bitching with the fingers from my dinner plate.
sometimes as a crazy bitch laying dead on the interstate.
And sometimes that crazy bitch is the one man on the other side of the microphone. Yeah, I forgot to tell you guys that some of the music that I play from the Podsafe Music Network may be what you would call not necessarily family-friendly or family-safe. But if your kids are listening to The Revolutionary, let me tell you something right now, my friends. Guess what? They've already heard the words before. All right, so what did this letter from Iran have in it? Well, basically, Ahmadinejad, whatever. The president of Iran said, "Those with insight can already hear the sounds of the shattering and fall of the ideology and thoughts of liberal democratic systems." There was not a signal, a State Department official said there was nothing in the letter that was relevant to current talks with Iran. Well, unfortunately, a lot of the things that I've seen out of this article today, it says that basically that the reason why our policies are failing in the Middle East and against these good people of Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan, and everywhere else, and you heard it from the revolutionary and you can pay attention to it now because I said it last year, King George is not doing this to spread democracy. We're doing it for some other reason. Always look behind the closed doors, what they're doing with the other hand when they're shaking their hand, one hand in front of your face. So what are some of these things that our friends, friends from Iraq are saying, Iran are saying? Because basically they say that there are people around the world who are flocking towards a main focal point that's the Almighty God. Undoubtedly, through faith in God and the teaching of the prophets, the people will conquer their problems. And his question to us is, do we want to join them? All right, the letter was framed in religious terms. And it wasn't necessarily laid out as anti-American, in my opinion. Others might have the opinion that yes, it was anti-American. But what it was saying is that we're all human beings. And as human beings, you know, we have to look and ask serious questions of ourselves. And unfortunately, the president of Iran asks questions that I've asked too. And, you know, maybe they're being framed and painted as, you know, crazy Shiite Muslims over there. But, you know, it's their religious belief, just like we are being painted as a bunch of Christians, which I myself, I consider myself a humanist. I was sitting down with Revolutionary Meyer this evening and having a fine meal. We finally got a chance to get together and go out for my birthday. That was Sunday, but we went out and we had a fine meal this evening. And we were talking about everything from religion to biodiesel to ethanol and humanism and other things. And he very keenly points out that he is proudly an Episcopalian. And I told him of my fact that I am proudly a humanist. I believe that we are one people and one race and one creed. We are all human. And regardless of what we do, we are all the same thing. We are all beneath the surface identical. And that's a revolutionary thought. And I know that you folks, you know, out there are probably saying, hey, you nutty freak, you know, what are you saying? That all men are the same? And, well, Jefferson said it best. He says, all men are created equal. We are endowed from our Creator. Okay, some inalienable rights. The Constitution of the United States guarantees us those rights. Now, it doesn't guarantee everybody around the world those rights, but it does guarantee us the right to at least express the fact that we are all the same. And by Bush running in, good old King George running into the Middle East and starting to muck around with it all of those years ago because we were, quote-unquote, attacked on our soil, loosechange911.com. Make up your own mind. Well, you know, King George says we were attacked and therefore we had to do it. Well, aren't we attacking ourselves by attacking these individuals across the world? Aren't we, by meddling in their affairs, meddling in the affairs of our own? You know, we have a lot of problems here in this country. Millions of Americans go to bed every night hungry. I'm not. I'm overstuffed today. But millions of Americans do. Okay? Millions of people go to bed without proper medical care. Millions of people go to bed, you know, without the knowledge that they're going to wake up the next morning safe and secure in their own homes. So these are problems we have at home. People wake up in the morning without a proper education. And these are problems we need to solve. These are problems that you and I can solve as Americans. And that these are problems we can solve here, and we could even ask for help. And that's kind of what was being, what was being asked here. Are we pleased with the current condition of the world? This was asked by the president of Iran. Do you think the present policies can continue? You know, this letter marked a significant gesture. This is the first time that an Iranian head of state and an American president have corresponded directly since the revolution of 1979. Okay? In 1979, then Ayatollah Khomeini sent, you know, let's see, when was that? It was in 80, yeah, it was in 79 and 89, all right, basically in 1989, when the Ayatollah Khomeini wrote to Mikhail Gorbachev and he said communism was dead and invited him to study Islam. So this is another, you know, another letter that's being sent between, you know, our two sides that's saying, you know, that there are basic questions that need to be answered. You know, is there a better way? Is there no better way to interact with the rest of the world? He asked. Today, there are hundreds of millions of Christians, hundreds of millions of Muslims, and hundreds of millions of people who follow the teachings of Moses. All divine religions share respect for the one word, and that is monotheism, the belief in a single God and no other in this world. He is quoting scripture. Okay? he is not stating things like have been in the past, saying things like, you know, that we are the great Satan or we are the world oppressor, and pointing out that the United States is, you know, is basically a, you know, is evil. But he is doing it in a way to say, look, I am every man. I am one man, and here's another one man who can make a difference. And he's saying that the civil war that's in Iraq and the reports of secret prisons around Europe, he argues that the United States is failing to live up to our own values. And I agree with him. Again, here is one man. He's in a position of power, yes, but he is one man, a representative of his entire country, who is taking a stand and saying, look, King George, it's enough. Do you really want to attack a sovereign people? A people that are just trying to make themselves better? And he basically addressed the letter to the young people in the Islamic world. He wants to play basically a hero to them and allow them to show some enthusiasm. And, you know, he wants them to basically this rally behind him. And if I just got sucked into that, that's fine. But what he is saying is something I've been saying for the past year on this podcast. That, you know, basically he also offered up some things on September 11. And I would like to see if someone's got a copy out there, if someone out there, or one of our revolutionary friends who works for the Times or one of the other news organizations, Drudge or FARC, if one of you revolutionaries could send to onemanrevolution@gmail.com the entire contents of this letter, the all 18 pages, I would love to be able to mark it up and show, you know, exactly what he said and how he said it. Because I think that this guy is putting forward, just like we always do, putting forward a question. You know, can we let this stand? And I say no. Now, of course, the Bush administration turns around and says, well, your letter misses the point, sir. You know, you Iranians, you don't understand. You're obviously stupid. And it says he didn't answer the main question. You know, when will you get rid of your nuclear program? Well, if all you're asking for is a singular question, his answer should be, we don't have to. We told you we're doing it for peaceful reasons. It's a civil nuclear program. You know, they will, you know, basically say when the United Nations tells them that things need to change, they will try, they will change it. But, you know, and they have opened up. You know, they've been very, you know, they're strong enough to defend their rights, you know, and basically Iran is an independent, you know, is a very independent country, and they will back up their, you know, basically their goals and aspirations by talking to other people that feel that they have a like mind, like Russia, China, you know, who have been supporting them because Iran, they feel, besides being a big trading partner, is going to be utilizing this nuclear program for peaceful means. And until they do otherwise, you know, hell, we let Pakistan have the bomb. We let India have the bomb. You know, we seem to be letting everybody have the bomb nowadays, but we're not going to let Iran have the bomb. It goes deeper. Okay, the revolutionary will put forward this today. It's not about the bomb. It's not about weapons of mass destruction. And as we know, it never has been. You know, what it's about is it's about oil. And more deeply, it's about currency. Now, the oil that we get here in the United States, we primarily purchase in American dollars from the United Arab Emirates and OPEC nations, all right, the folks that are over there, Saudi Arabia, you know, all of those OPEC nations. And we buy the oil in U.S. dollars. That's how we exchange. We exchange U.S. dollars for the oil. And as part of the whole OPEC idea, all the oil in that region is traded in U.S. dollars. Well, not too long ago, Iraq, Iran, the Soviet Union, China, and Europe wanted to get together, build a pipeline throughout that area, and trade oil in euros. Now, trading in euros does a couple of things. It takes the currency from being dollar US dollar based into euro based. And a euro based economy in oil removes the need for US dollars, which therefore reduces the need for the US. And if they change it over, we start getting into deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper debt, and we have no way of paying it back because no one's trading our currency for oil. All right, so this entire Middle Eastern thing has very little to do with oil and has everything to do with economics and about the dollar versus the euro. So I'm afraid that now we're in kind of a stuck position. What are we going to do next? Are we going to revolutionize the way we do things and do what we should do? And this is what I talked with Revolutionary Meyer about this evening. Go ahead and bite the bullet and change our minds. The only way to change our minds right now is to change our government, and the only way to change our government is in these midterm elections to vote. Every revolutionary out there, whether your name is Meyer or Muley or Floor or Riego, whoever you are who's out there listening, if you are not voting, then you are part of the problem. I have voted since I was 17 and a half years old in every election that I can possibly vote in. I've even voted absentee when I couldn't actually make it to the polls. It is your right as a citizen of the United States. It is your responsibility as a citizen of the United States. Vote. Don't sit around and say, well, if I vote, it doesn't matter. Some other asshole's going to win anyway, and my vote doesn't count. Make it count. Make the phone call. Be the one man that changes it all. Make a move.
One chance can make a difference, and it seems I've run out of chances. My everlasting pain continues, and I've heard about some stories of why the girls seem to fucking ignore me. It seems like I have been underrated, 'cause I know where I've been here before, but I don't wanna know, 'cause I've seen friendships that torn apart from seams. People say it's so stupid. Years of work can be lost in a second, and you pretend you're unoffended.
And sometimes when we make a move, of course, all the music from the PodSafe Music Network at music.podshow.com. Visit there and download. You can even buy some of these tracks directly off of the PodSafe Music Network. They're only 99 cents, and they really support independent music. That was Bernard Kelly with Make a Move, and the first one was Crazy Bitch by AmpSex. And they're both excellent tracks, and you can listen to them right there within the music.podshow.com. Now, moving forward, and maybe I'll just have to let this one go after I'm done and kind of relax. But the housing secretary basically jumped in today saying, hey, I want to head off any fervor that's going on. I want to kind of turn around and say, hey, so the guy didn't get, the contract, but it really had absolutely nothing to do with the fact that he didn't like the president. Of course, we're not going to pander, to people that are sucking up to this current administration. We're going to award the contract to the qualified people and give them the contracts that they deserve. And of course, there were proposals that were made Dallas Business Journal, blah, blah, blah. There was a contract, for a decade to land a contract. Someone had been trying to land a contract for a decade with the Housing Urban Development. And Jackson, Alfonso Jackson, the head of the Housing and Urban Development, basically said, the guy didn't get the contract. Why should we reward someone who doesn't like the president so they can use the funds to try and campaign against the president? Logic says they don't get the contract. That's the way I believe. And he is the man in the position to actually make that decision. And of course, today he runs out, and this was on the 28th he made that statement, and today, the 10th, he runs out and says, and not him by himself, a spokeswoman said that, of course, all of the contracts are awarded on a stringent merit-based process. She added that Jackson was not involved in awarding contracts, a process is overseen by a procurement officer, and that politics does not play a part in who we advertise with or who we award contracts to. Well, all that being said, the advertising contract with the minority publication, basically was not awarded. You know, whether the secretary's story is factional or fictional, it sure tells a sad tale, which is what Senator Lautenberg from New Jersey said. And basically said it's illegal, immoral, and unacceptable, and requires repudiation. And that means engaging in something that happens after the fact. And, of course, Mr. Jackson is yet another crony to King George. And he's been a political friend from Texas. He replaced Mel Martinez, who resigned in 2003 to run for Senate, and he was president of the Dallas Housing Authority. Okay, so basically from 1989 to 1996. So he was not exactly qualified for this job, and he's a crony of the King George. So therefore, what do we say? Throw the bum out and put in somebody who actually can do the damn job. Okay, stop this cronyism crap. So Alfonso, your days are numbered. And Revolutionary Lautenberg and Representative Henry Waxman and Barney Frank, please demand stand up, like you're doing, and demand that resignation of this man. Because you know what, Brownie? You're doing an excellent job. We all remember when the president said that. Brownie did show horses, equestrian horses. This guy, Jackson, He just served as the head of a housing association, of course making him eminently qualified in the president's eyes to run housing and urban development. Yeah. All right. So how about the follow-up on the Secret Service? Well, the Secret Service logs, according to an article from the Associated Press, show only two visits by Jack Abramoff, just two, And the administration, of course, has said that there were many, many more than that, but now they're backpedaling. The documents are incomplete. They are an incomplete accounting of Abramoff's meetings with the administration officials. They say that Abramoff did have contact with Bush and others in the administration. So they were backpedaling earlier, saying, "Well, don't trust what the what the logs from the Secret Service are going to say." There are far fewer times that the president had seen them, and now, since the Secret Service has put forward logs that say that the president and the White House staff only met with him for a total of 63 minutes and 29 seconds. Guess what? They're running and running quickly, and backpedaling, saying, "Oh no! They saw him much more. These logs are different. Probably setting something off up because of the pictures that that were taken between Abramoff and some Secret Service and American Indian tribe, which of course we like to be called Natives, Native Americans." And of course, Jack Abramoff in the background while Bush was shaking those hands. So, there are some very serious issues here. Okay. If the accounting was changed, well, then the Secret Service is corrupt. If the accounting's correct, then the administration's corrupt. Let me think. I have more faith in the SS than I do King George. I'll leave you at that one. So I'm just going to let it go from here, and let's let Captain Wham allow us to let it go too. This is 4 minutes and 51 seconds, of course, right off the music.podshow.com, PodSafe Music Network, and I'll be back in 4:51 to give you some contact information to contact the revolutionary in this podcast a day for the entire month of May. There's some really interesting news coming up. Can't let it out of the bag yet, but if you're involved and you're listening, I sure hope that our conversation on Friday is a good thing. So here it is, Captain Wham with Let It Go. We'll be right back.
find it, I'm back in my room. I check the clock for what it's worth. You know that I'll be leaving soon.
You gotta love that riff at the end. All right, folks, this is me, the One Man from One Man Revolution. And if you need to get a hold of me during the week or during the weekends, because we're doing one cast away for the month of May, one cast a day. So contact me at onemanrevolution@gmail.com or just head on over to the website, onemanrevolution.org. And don't forget to check out Ravenlocks Entertainment at Ravenlocks, LOCHES.com, and get all your information on the entertainment sphere. And of course, we're both part of the National Podcasting System. All right, folks. Well, until tomorrow, stay well. I love you all. Glad to have Becca back. It's going to take her some time to heal, but we love her nonetheless. You stand strong, little girl. You'll do just fine. And Plain Jane, man, I can't wait till you get back. It'll be next Tuesday before we have lunch. But man, I can't wait to see you. I'm sure you'll have plenty of stories. All right, well, that's me, the One Man from One Man Revolution. I'll check in again with you tomorrow. See ya!